It's the final hour of the Fan pregame on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. This is our final hour until we get a little bit of a break until the new year. But we have a Leafs game or two scattered in there. But nonetheless, break from our Fan pregame.
Yeah, we're off next week, with the exception of Friday. Because, yeah, we'll be doing Molson Leafs hockey. Mm-hmm. And we'll just throw in a nice little half-hour Fan pregame to start that off. So,
say hello to our friends.
We get a couple days off.
It's been a great show.
Especially after a long three-hour show. Taxing.
It's been taxing, but we've had lots of fun. Lots of great guests. Savannah Hamilton, Chris Cuthbert, Ron McLean in a minute, and Charles Davis to wrap up our three-hour holiday extravaganza. I just wanted to give one shout-out. We were just talking about a small hamlet called Cobden.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee in Cobden texted in at 595.90 and said that, "Hi, I'm listening from Cobden. Woohoo, come on anytime, Ailish." And I said, "No way. For real, listening from Cobden."
I thought you said, "No way."
I said, "No way. You're kidding me." I said, "What goes on in Cobden?" He goes, "Well, not much. Just we got a Timmy's on Highway 17. So that's about it."
Okay. And so, you got Jack Quinn. So that's,
shout out.
Let's get up one of those signs where it's the home of Jack Quinn and Lee.
And Lee and Cobden. Lee.
Okay.
Those are your two
beautiful
celebrities. We are going from one voice of Hockey Night in Canada to another. Ron McLean, host of Hockey Night in Canada, joins us. Ron, you look wonderful this evening. Look at that sweater.
I have to say, obviously, I'm doing it for you, but I thought of Deborah Berman, our consultant on wardrobe at Sportsnet. I'm sure she was close to intensive care watching Elliot Friedman last night. And this is going to push her right over the edge. So I'll come see you, Deb, bedside at whatever hospital you choose to deal with us dressed like this. But honestly, last night, Elliot was on the panel. He's the only one, right, in garb, Christmas garb. And I've got to listen to the Leafs lose 9-3. I got to listen to an elf try and sort it out. So very, very funny.
Okay, so preparing to have you on, Ron, we've just been like fascinated with what the McLean Christmas looks like. So tell us a little bit about the McLean Christmas.
Well, first of all, did I understand you don't have a Christmas tree at your home?
Ron, he doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it's. Oh, I didn't think I'd be taking heat from
it's
Ron.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well. You know, listen, you're going to get it for two reasons. One, the question to your dad about what's the worst call you've ever made.
I've been in a
sweat for 10 minutes thinking about when he asks me the worst interview I ever conducted or the stupidest opening I ever did. And I've got both. And by the way, my sweater has beer mugs all around the base of it.
So
I'm like, Chris, I have problems with back bars too. But Christmas at our house is, I love the season. I truly do. I know it kind of sets us up for failure because it paints a perfect picture of the world and we spend too much and eat and drink too much. And we set ourselves back so many different ways and our families get together and they're usually our triggers. So it's a beautiful time of year. For me as a child, I remember my first one, Victoria. Mm. My father was military, so we moved around a lot, and Dad was on a six-month rotation up north. Alert is on Ellesmere Island, 83 degrees north, so it was Mom and me. I'm an only child, so Mom and me, and she put up an artificial tree, and she didn't quite get it right. She didn't have the longer branches at the base. She had them in the middle, so it looked like one of those green smoker barbecue eggs. That's my first vivid memory of Christmas. But for me, music, for sure, even in the old days, you guys, they used to have Hockey Night in Canada. Mm. They played on Christmas Day. That stopped a good couple of decades ago. But it was my favorite time. And in Red Deer, when I was about, I'd say ages 9 to 13 or 14, I had a little tradition. Mom and Dad would go lie down Christmas Eve around 8 o'clock to get ready to go to midnight mass. Mm. And I was too young to need a nap to go to midnight mass. So I would go over to Joseph Welsh Elementary School. It was a neighborhood backyard rink. And I would go climb up into the basket of the net, which is kind of like the top of a hammock. And I would sit in the net and look at the stars. I was too old to be thinking Santa's coming, but I just love that moment of gratitude to look up at the stars. I could go on about that. Jeanette Walls has a book, The Glass Castle, is all mm-hmm. about stars and Christmas. But yeah, it's big in our house. We have friend Carrie's sisters visiting, and her partner, J.C. McEwen, was a wonderful hockey player, won a national championship with the Nate Ooks. So it'll be the four of us, a quiet, cozy Christmas.
That is such a lovely story, Ron. We were so excited to talk to you because we thought, we were like, it's going to be like a fireplace chat with Ron McLean. Like, we need a cup of hot chocolate, marshmallows. We were going to put fireplaces up behind us, but tech stuff. We're not, you know, we can barely get Zoom going, us too here. So we didn't want to put too much on the efforts of our tech squad, but we're just going to imagine. You mentioned cozy Hamlet type vibe. I want to ask you, because I'm from a very small town, and I hope you've been, but you might not have been. Your favorite, like, cozy little holiday Hamlet town, if you were to plop yourself somewhere for a Christmas season, somewhere you've visited, because you've probably been to lots.
Yeah.
What has, like, the holiday vibe to it?
I really enjoyed Stowe, Vermont. Went there, ended up in a cemetery
Vermont.
Right around midnight on Christmas Eve, which was kind of like Mother's got a song, another Try Not to Cry Christmas, which is good and dark. But I loved Stowe. It's skiing. It was kind of fondue. A lot of, you know, great movies are filmed in those mountains. So that's one example of, and I really love the Rockies. We've done a lot of Christmases at both Banff and Lake Louise, and I would definitely recommend that. And lastly, the point at Saranac Lake in upstate New York. There's three.
Beautiful.
I'm putting you on the spot here, but it's not as inflammatory as that question I presented my father. The best Christmas gift you've ever received?
It was when I was in Yukon territory. My dad had now been stationed up north in Yukon for 5 years, from 64 to 68. And right around 64, 65, I asked my parents if I could ask Santa for a table hockey game. That was my big thing. And somehow, even then, I had an idea that might involve mom and dad, you know, the request to Santa Claus, because I wrote the letters to Santa every 2 weeks. I changed my mind, but not on the table hockey game. It was a Coleco, and it was state of the art at the time, and it had a replica Stanley Cup, which is the thing that I think fascinated me the most. So now it's Christmas Eve, and I go to bed. I'm young, so I probably went to bed around 7 in the evening, and I hear footsteps coming down the hall. And of course, it's Santa Claus. I can tell it's going to be Santa Claus. So I close my eyes as tight as I can to not disappoint Santa, because if I get into the naughty list, that's going to screw this table hockey game up. So I have my eyes shut tight, and I hear somebody come rustling into my bedroom, and I can't believe it. I can't believe Santa's even coming by the bedroom. And he leaves, and I don't think much more of it. I fall right back asleep, and I wake up in the morning, and there's a Stanley Cup on my nightstand. That's what Mom and Dad decided to do, was put the replica cup on my nightstand. And that began a tradition of getting table hockey games at Christmas that went on for 2 decades. And I'd have all my buddies in Red Deer come over and play table hockey, eat Rice Krispie Squares, and drink way too much soda pop. And that's my favorite.
That's actually a really good... I was wondering if you collected things. Like, you know... I see you live in, looks like a nice bookshelf room there, like a little library. I bet you have some collection. Do you have like a memorabilia or things that you collect, even if it's like when you go to Hockey Day in Canada and you get to go to different places? I'm sure you have some things stored away that we would love to look at one day.
Well, you know, one thing, Ailish, is we have 6 paintings by Rod Charlesworth, is from Kelowna, British Columbia. And he does outdoor scenics. And in the case of the ones I choose, they have hockey settings, either a skate going on a slough near a grain elevator, or nestled in some of the foothills of the Okanagan. He's amazing. So I would think of my Charlesworth. When my father died, my dad is Ron Sr. When he died in 2015, he left me enough money to commission a painting by Rod Charlesworth. And Rod went way above what, you know, he should have charged me $1 million for this painting he did. It's quite enormous. I wish I could show it to you. Maybe I'll send you a photo for another time. But it's an outdoor rink. Simple as that, because that was my childhood. I was an only child, as I said. So I really relied on the people I went to school with, my friends. And I definitely relied on that outdoor community rink for all my social interaction and for my love of the game. So that painting that Rod did for me to honor Dad is just one of my collections, collected hockey cards and now books.
We got to see the painting. We also have to see the wardrobe closet, I think, because I'm convinced there's no one better dressed in all of television than Ron McLean. The beginning of Hockey Day in Canada. Oh. I mean, you always have
those
the best gloves, the best jackets, the best toque if needed. Yeah. I mean, that stuff is one of one, at least it seems for me.
Well, some of them have been, you know, funny. I definitely had a snowflake sweater years ago. It was a Hugo Boss. It was a very nice, you know, kind of an expensive sweater. And that was one of the things with Rogers Hometown Hockey. We received beautiful Roots jackets, but we were kind of, I mean, to retail them would probably be about $500, which was out of reach, right? We didn't want to have something that was out of reach for the hockey fan. So that sweater, I was a little disappointed in myself spending that much money to to celebrate hockey, but it was worth it. It's my favorite. It's, again, tucked away somewhere. If I take a photo, I'll send it to you. But Deb Berman gets all the credit for the bulk of the things that we wear. And then, yeah, there's usually one of these festive sweaters somewhere that just conjures like a Rockwell what we think about hockey in the country.
We're speaking with Ron McLean, of course, of Hockey Night in Canada. So you mentioned Victoria. It was one of your favorite memories, but Hockey Day in Canada around the corner in Victoria. So it's a nice homecoming for you, at least. Do you have a favorite memory or an a part of this Hockey Day in Canada, which is coming up, that you're most excited for? Because it's going to be a special one.
Well, there's so much, so I'll try not to ramble. But for starters, the Courtnels will be kind of our honorary ambassadors. Russ and Jeff played in the NHL. Bruce, the third brother's just a gem. Their father, Archie, died of mental health issues that resulted in suicide. And Archie used to make the kids stand during Hockey Night in Canada during the playing of O Canada. So they were, like, really dedicated to watching the show and growing up hockey. So the Courtnels will be hosting, and there's a lot of, you know, the Indigenous community, the biodiversity of the Indigenous story on Vancouver Island is probably triple what the rest of the country is. So we will have a great hosts in that regard. Dave Cutler is an idol of mine. He played for the Edmonton Elks, but won 6 Grey Cups with Edmonton. He was a clutch field goal kicker. You know, it was one of my, you know, when you ask your dad, what would he love to cover? It wouldn't be a Grey Cup for me, which your dad did so brilliantly, Justin. For me, the answer to that would be to referee a Stanley Cup game, not to broadcast. But if I had to pick another sport, it would be Formula One car racing, just to answer that. And
wow.
Back to Victoria. Dave Cutler was the kicker, and my first ever dad now gets transferred to Alberta, Edmonton, and it's 1971, and the Edmonton Football Club are 0-10-1 when he takes me to my first ever CFL game at Clark Stadium. They were brutal, and they had a quarterback in, Bruce Lemmerman was just trying to learn the ropes, and he wasn't successful through 3 quarters. Larry Lawrence comes in, throws a 70-yard bomb to George McGowan, who catches it right in front of the upright and sets up the first, you know, they score a touchdown to get within 2 points. And then Cutler, in a driving rainstorm, kicked a 52-yarder to win the game. And they won the remaining 5, and they went on to be a dynasty. And so Cutler became kind of my lucky charm. I always thought of him.
So I know all the chairs.
He's there, and he lives in Victoria. So I will definitely see Dave, be able to have a beer with Dave. And we talk now from time to time, and I'd love to get him on the show. It's a jam-packed show. It's like the first year we did it, 2000, Howie Meeker came on. He was the first guest of a 13-and-a-half-hour broadcast. And when Howie was finished, I realized 13-and-a-half hours isn't enough. Once we start, it just... everything explodes.
3 hours might be enough for us today.
No, it's not.
Ron, if I know all the seats are full for Christmas, you're excited about the company that you're going to have. But let's say you're doing, you know, a fantasy world where you can put any 4 NHL players at the Christmas dinner table with you. Which 4 players are you putting chairs down for?
Well, for starters, Justin, I'll allow myself to pick a Cassie Campbell-Pascal, because I was asked at the Heritage Classic, you know, if you're in a dressing room and there's a stall to your right and left, which 2 players are, you know, on either side of you? And I chose Gretzky and Cassie because, you know, I liken her to Wayne in terms of her outside the box, her, you know, great captain, of course. And so those are 2. And then I would put, for whatever reason, Eric Lindros just popped right into my head. So I'll go with Eric Lindros. He's a friend, and I think the world of Eric and what he did. You know, Béliveau always said our stories were identical, except I didn't want to leave Quebec and he didn't want to report to Quebec. But we both did it in the name of the rights of players. So I think Lindros's role in the game is very much underappreciated, and he's a brilliant guy. So I would put Eric there. And then I should have Jacques Plante. My other boyhood hero was a goaltender. I wrote to Jacques when I was 10 or 11, and he wrote me back. And I asked him a tough question. I asked him about Toe Blake, the coach, not wanting him to wear a mask, and yet you wore the mask. So there he was, hotshot, you know, journalist, Cub reporter, back as 10-year-old. But he was very patient and gave me a good answer, and he sent me a nice signed photo that I lost in a move a few years back, sadly. But I have a great book about Jacques Plante by Todd Deneau, and I treasure that.
You mentioned Cassie, and I guess it's a good reflection point. She's moving on to a new career path, like a new chapter for her. Of course, was with Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada for a while, but going to be working with the PWHL, which is so exciting, obviously, personally for me as well, and for our hockey world. But I guess it's opening a new a new chapter for her. You've spent some time with her in your career. Like, she's a pretty wonderful person, not only just a wonderful hockey player, but some memories or some just appreciation for Cassie, because she deserves it.
Yeah, well, I remember one time the crew, I was already into Nelson, British Columbia, for that was the host city, and you generally would fly into Castlegar, but it's a tough airport. There's always weather preventing flights from getting in, and that was what the case was with all of the Scotiabank team, which is Darcy Tucker and Lanny mm-hmm. McDonald and Wendell Clark and Cassie Campbell-Pascal. But it wasn't just the Scotiabank ambassadors. It was a whole crew of our sports, what would have been CBC at the time, and NHL alumni who were coming in, because we always have a alumni game. And so Cassie was the one that organized the team bus to bring everybody on a bus down to Nelson. And that's just typical of Cassie. She's always front and center in terms of leading. Like when the women won the gold at Beijing, Cassie put together the video that would inspire the team just nice. Before the Olympics began. And I remember my little role was to feature Sarah Fillier. She's from Georgetown, Ontario. And when we did Rogers Hometown Hockey in Georgetown, 165 minor hockey league teams came out to our event. That's how loved the game is in Georgetown. And I wanted Sarah to see that. She's just a rookie, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of singled her out, and I didn't want to embarrass her, but I wove a story about almost what you're saying with Cobden, the little hamlets of our country. You know, in each one, there's somebody who thinks that they might play in the Olympics or play in the NHL. And I loved that. And then Cassie was the one who came to me for that. She also did it for world championships and behind the scenes, one of the great team builders of all time.
The PWHL might be at the top of the list. And of course, we don't have to wait long, because January 1st will be the first game. So it'll start 2024 off with a bang. But if you examine the entire hockey world, the NHL and beyond, Ron, like what are you looking forward to in 2024 when it comes to the game you love?
Well, the PWHL for sure. And I'll tell you, I just saw Joanne Bourbonnais, whose daughter Jamie, you mm-hmm. would know, she plays for the New York Sound. And her parents can't get a ticket to game one. Crazy. They will eventually get a ticket because she has influence. But that's how popular it is, you know. And I know in Ottawa, they wanted to just sell the lower bowl, 9,000 seats, but they've had to open up into the top bowl because of the demand. So I think the women's game, like Chris mentioned, when Kendall Coyne Schofield blew out of the fastest skater competition and just set us all like, wow. And I skated even in Owen Sound last year with Blair Turnbull. She'll be on the top line for Toronto with Sarah Nurse. And Natalie Spooner will be the number one line for Toronto. It's going to be Blair just flies. So she's right there with Crosby and McKinnon as a Nova Scotian. And I think the energy in those rinks around the PWHL will be everything that hockey's really, we're going to get it with the World Juniors. We always do. But the energy reminds me of what I love about Raptors. You know, when I see Drake on the sideline and, you know, the super fan and all the just fun of it, you know, we take hockey quite seriously. It's like Christmas. We put so much stock in it that it's hard to enjoy it. But I think in the women's atmosphere, you're going to have a vibe that truly is needed. And I really am excited about that.
The Oilers will be at Madison Square Garden tonight, 7:30 on Sportsnet. I want to ask you about the Oilers, Ron. Do you think that, you know, it was a tough start. Connor McDavid injured or dealing with an injury. The goaltending situation was what it was. They have recently hit a skid, although they bounced back last night. But do you believe that they've sort of steadied things, that this Oilers team is going to be at least close to the one that we expected when a lot of people at Sportsnet were picking them to win a Stanley Cup this year?
Oh, for sure. I was right there in lockstep with all those who picked. And I had Carolina as maybe coming out of the East. So there's that. So, Chris, my worst call? You just heard it. But I think the Oilers are going to be there. I felt they were too long at home, Justin, in December, and then they needed to get on the road. But the problem is when you finally get on the road after 3 weeks at home, that flight kind of knocks you down a peg. So they had to go through a little bit of an adjustment, and they played much better last night. Even the game they lost on the island, Leon Draisaitl, Ekholm had the puck behind Skinner behind his net. And Leon circles back, steps over the puck, and starts to motor up to center ice. And within a blink of an eye, the puck goes from Ekholm on the goal line to Fogel up at the far blue line, and Draisaitl's now with him. They're amazing. You know, they've got so much, you know, when Chris was talking about Toronto looking for a offensive defenseman, mm-hmm. they have that in Bouchard is a real gem. They definitely, you know, maybe their bottom six isn't that big, so they might not be hard to play against, but they're just so good. And Connor is, what I said about Cassie, is one of the greater leaders. I put him right there. He was, when the Humboldt Bronco crash happened, he was immense. You know, he saw the Pride tape last night. He's just a great human being and a great leader. And so he wears his heart on his sleeve sometimes, and not so much what he says, but I just think he's going to carry them through this into the playoffs.
Well, Ron, we could have a 13-hour broadcast and not get nearly enough good comments and good stories from you. So we will let you go, though, because we're up against the clock. But we appreciate your time today and looking forward to everything that we get to do down the road.
Yeah, fantastic show today, Ailish and Justin. Happy holidays. See you soon.
Well. Thanks, Ron. Ron McLean, of course, host of Hockey Night in Canada. And he throws out the Stowe, Vermont. Like, that's my hood.
That's your hood?
That's
your hood?
My
You're
spot.
Claiming a lot of territory on today's show.
I just claim Earth. Yeah, okay. I love Earth. Anyway.
Yeah.
All good. That was really lovely.
The McLean Christmas. I mean, it feels like it should be a television show, right?
One day.
Like it should be. He's just.
Sportsnet Plus. The McLean Christmas.
Yeah, we'll fill up that streaming platform with McLean content. That couldn't be better. Of course. I'll ask you the same question. Mm. You're going to put four hockey players, past, present, at a Christmas table?
Oh, my God.
Who are you picking? What do you mean, oh, my gosh? You got friends that you could put down?
Tucker.
Okay. Wasn't expecting to lead Tucker, but go off.
Justin Cuthbert.
Not a hockey player.
Darcy Tucker. I would like to say Cassie Campbell, too. She was like my idol growing up. I'm not stealing Ron's answers, but also Cassie. That would be a fun table already. Two more?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'd love to talk to Wayne. Wayner. Give me Wayner.
Okay.
One more girl will even it out. I mean, Laura Stacey.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, my best friend.
Comforts of home, right?
Okay, you have to do the same thing.
Oh, okay. I have random favorite players. So I don't know if I should just put a random assortment of
Did you see my...
No, but like you had some like legends in there and people you actively know.
Well, those were my two favorite players growing up, Tucker and Cassie Campbell.
Okay.
And then my best friend. So, I mean, it's not really that random.
I might go for like the... All right. I have a picture of Mike Comrie hanging in my basement because I'm just was a fan of Mike Comrie. So I've got Mike Comrie at the table.
Okay.
Alish Hemsky was former favorite of mine. I'm putting Alish Hemsky, a couple Oilers there.
Almost Ailish.
It's pretty close. Matt Sundin's got to be there.
Yeah, it's a good one. Damn, I wish I could add another. Can I add when they add like a table chunk of the table?
Like the children's table? You can put Matt's at the children's table?
No, it's another leaf. Another leaf of the table. I'd like to extend my table.
Okay, I'll give you a leaf.
Okay.
You got Matt's there. And I got to go someone like currently in the game. I'll go Connor McDavid.
Okay. Wow. Lots of food being consumed at these hungry athletes at our tables.
Yeah, we're going to have to come correct with the menu.
Well, let's feed them with some money that we win on Bet Rivers. Time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. I'm going to the Raptors game tonight, folks, and it is not a Raptor. Sorry about that. Raptors in Philly to not play the Phillies, but the Sixers at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 1. Joel Embiid, we spent a lot of time talking about him, MVP level beyond belief. I'm going to bet him to get a triple-double. Guys, I'm on a hot streak. I hit again last night, hit the day before and the day before. So I'm going all out. It's the last one before the Christmas break. 1,000 plus 1,000. Put some money on it. Maybe you win something that you can buy yourself a Christmas tree.
I don't want to mush you, but I think I got to play that. Like Savannah was talking at
4:30. He's unbelievable right now.
About chasing, you know, something that Will Chamberlain, I believe that wouldn't, add the triple-double, but 40
and 10. It's spicy, but how he's playing.
Yeah, he can fill the stat sheet any which way. And if it gets to the point where, he just starts dishing it because he's Joel Embiid and he's way ahead of the Raptors, then so be it. I think the triple-double at plus 1,000 is pretty good. I will go to the hockey game that we have tonight on the network on Sportsnet. Edmonton visiting Madison Square Garden. I think the Oilers players might have just spent the entire day going to shops, buying something for their loved ones. It's maybe the last stop on the trip.
They have West Edmonton Mall, though.
They do.
Such a beautiful mall.
But there might be like a couple stores in New York that you wouldn't be able to access in Edmonton. I don't know that as fact.
I think you're probably right.
But I feel like, Oilers played last night. Gutsy win. They might be preoccupied today, or at least have something else to do today. New York Rangers waiting for them. I like the Rangers on the puck line at Madison Square Garden tonight. That is playing plus 180, Rangers to win by two or more.
All right. That was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. We're going to take a break, and we have our final segment of this year.
Technically,
it is.
Not.
It is. Yes, it is. On Fan Pregame and with Charles Davis, who's one of the best ever. We'll be right back. Charles Davis on the Fan Pregame.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final 30 minutes of the Fan Pregame. Friday nights. Good vibes. I had a fun day. Fun week. Fun year. Fun life. What do you think?
Yeah, things are good. It's holiday season.
I'm feeling like Ron just like gave me like new perspective on life.
I want to go to like a pond or a local like athletic area where they've put some ice down.
Athletic area? You sound like you work out a lot.
Sit on a basketball hoop and just stare at the stars like Ron McLean when he was young.
You know where you could do that? Sutton. Or Cobden. Or any of the places he needs.
Really?
Honestly.
Yeah, you're right.
He could work for a travel network. This is where I need Rinks Unknown. I can't give him that idea, actually. That's my idea.
Let's keep that quiet.
But unfortunately.
But that might be the right collaboration for such project.
It's good. We've got lots of love on the text line. Everyone's in the holiday spirit. Our next guest will have... Of course, Charles Davis is one of our favorites. We talked about some great sports viewing around the corner. Of course, Raptors Sixers tonight. Then you've got tomorrow, we're doing the Leafs game. We've got Leafs Jackets. And then it's Christmas Eve, and there's a slam dunk slate of football. And that's not usually like how it goes, right? There's sometimes a lot of football, but this seems like jam-packed amount of football. I'm excited to lay on the couch.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's not every year. I guess they can manipulate it a little bit. You could get the Thursday, Monday, whatever it has to be. Mm-hmm. But just fell perfectly so that your Christmas, your holiday season, your festive season can just be inundated by important football games in week 16 of the NFL, which is never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing. And always a great thing when we get to talk to Charles Davis of NFL and CBS, who we haven't spoken to in so long. Charles, this has already made my holiday. I can just go off the air after this, and I'm done. I'm done for the next little while. Charles, so good to see you. How's it going?
It's going great. Good to see you guys, and once again, congratulations on your move. Sometimes you have to leave some people behind, and I was one of those people. That's just how it goes. But before we get to anything, 9 goals.
Who's got 9 goals?
The Leafs gave up 9.
Oh, yeah. God, don't even bring it up, Charles. I already forgot about it.
In the name of Punch Imlock, what the heck?
Man, I don't know. We need you to, like, get on there and help analyze it because we don't know.
We got a goal. There's a lot of quarterback problems around the NFL. There's a potential goaltending problem brewing in Toronto. It's something that we're going to have to address. We can't for a little while. Because this holiday freeze, we don't do business in hockey around Christmas, around the holiday season, Charles. So they're going to have to wait a little bit. There are going to be a lot of conversations around the holiday season about the Leafs goaltending situation. But, it's going to have to be something that's addressed.
But listen, I think they'll be okay. I have many, many days where I give up 9 goals. So I have no one to be in a criticism mode by any stretch. It's just when you see 9 in an NHL game, it grabs your attention, especially when it's the Sabres that puts it on them. So you're like, whoa, something went way wrong that day. Did not see that coming. But, you know, Tavares and Matthews, they'll get it going again and they'll be fine. So I'm not too worried about that. Guys, you got to get 1967 in the rear view. I grew up in New York and I'm a Rangers fan. Mm. We had to deal with 1940 all the way up until Mess took care of us against the Vancouver Canucks with the guarantee for game 6. Winning game 7, and we could put that in the rear view. And since then, I think they've been to 2 or 3 Stanley Cup finals or Eastern Conference finals, the whole deal. So we've gotten more consistent, but we don't have to hear the 1940 chant anymore.
And the Rangers could be back there. Rangers on Sportsnet tonight hosting the Edmonton Oilers. They're a good team once again. Since we're on the topic of Buffalo putting up 9 goals, let's talk Bills to start this NFL discussion. The Bills are on a bit of a wave right now. The Bills have something going. The Bills are not guaranteed to go to the playoffs, but if the Bills can take care of business, they should be there. Is that a legitimate team? Maybe a Super Bowl champion fighting and scratching and clawing into playoff position for you, Charles?
Yeah, Justin, they are. They absolutely are. And I think that if you were to get that sodium pentothal and inject it into all the teams in the AFC who are fighting for a playoff spot, and even the teams who know that they are going. The one thing that you would get that would be a consistent answer would be, please don't let Buffalo get in. Mm. Because I think people would be terrified to see the Bills coming in off the pace. Could you imagine having a great year? You're like a 2 seed, a 3 seed, and you're like, yes. And then the draw is Buffalo in the first round. Mm. No, that's bad. Because Josh Allen's arm travels. You guys know that. If he can throw the ball in Buffalo, he can throw the ball anywhere. Okay, so that's a non-issue for them. They have a offensive coordinator in Joe Brady, who I think is matching much better with Sean McDermott. Brian Daboll, you can't criticize. Brian Daboll's chops got him a head coaching job with the Giants, and he got a bad roster in the playoffs last year. And believe it or not, a bad roster this year that has not been eliminated from playoff contention, playing with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. So Brian Daboll's chops are not to be questioned. All right. Ken Dorsey followed him and tried to follow a lot of the same blueprint and had some pretty decent success. In fact, if you just look by the raw numbers when he got fired, you would ask the question, why did he get fired? The numbers are really good. But the one place where they're deficient, and you guys will remember this from our conversations over the years, what did I always consistently jump up and down on a table asking Buffalo do? Run the football, get a big back who can run the football in key times, all those things. Well, Joe Brady's calling plays now. Sean McDermott is a defensive head coach. You think he wasn't just enthralled with what he saw last week with 179 yards from Cook, and they stayed with the run because it was working and it was consistent with that? This isn't just simply a head coach saying to an offense coordinator, this is what we need to do. This is Joe Brady recognizing the game, feeling the moment, seeing what worked, and having no ego as a play caller. Oh, it works? Let's keep doing it. I don't have to show off my Cheesecake Factory menu of plays to show you how smart I am. This works. Let's do it. That's why I'm much more bullish on Buffalo right now. And, of course, the defense is getting better as they go along. But, hey, they're rising to the challenge. And if they get in, they're the team that no one wants to deal with in the AFC.
Speaking of jumping up and down on tables, I will be headed to the Bills game on New Year's Eve. Wondering
you're if not doing that support. Again, are
no,
you?
No, my question for you, Charles, is I see that it is a CBS game. I'm just wondering if you know your schedule yet.
Yeah, we know our schedule, Ailish, and I know we were in heavy consideration to actually do that ball game. There's a lot going on right now with Buffalo, with them charging. With Bill Belichick and his uncertain future, New England having upset Buffalo in the previous game. But in fact, we're going to be going to Baltimore. And so I will be singing
and a heartbreaks for a second year in a row.
The entire score of Hairspray as I head towards Baltimore, and Miami and Baltimore are playing. And truth be known, I don't know that any of our crew thought we'd keep that game. Mm. Because it is a big, big ball game. In fact, 1-2 in the AFC as we head into this weekend. And if they both win and hold serve, that's what we have coming up. Kansas City, Cincinnati is on our air the same day at 4:25. We thought they might flip the time frame. That could happen. And we also thought Sunday Night Football might be eyeing it like a shark and come in and get it because they've got Green Bay, Minnesota. But we were told yesterday that everything's going to hold. There will be no changes. So we are headed to the Charm City, and I'm sorry because, you know, we would have been very happy to come to Buffalo. we have to go where the assignment sends us, and so we'll go see Miami and Baltimore play that weekend.
That's all right.
The story continues.
I accept.
Perhaps next year. So you're not calling that game.
Here's hoping next year because I'm not going to lie. It's not fun for us when we don't get to Buffalo. It's just not.
You haven't been this year?
Yeah, no, we didn't get there this year. Okay. The atmosphere, I'm going to pay taxes in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. I mean, we have been embedded in the AFC North like you wouldn't believe. And if we weren't there, we've been in Houston. This is our third trip to Houston.
I don't know the tax situation in Ohio, so either congrats or I'm sorry to hear that you've been.
I think I'm in trouble on that one. Okay. That's not good. I don't think Pennsylvania, Ohio, do me right. Texas, there may be no state income tax.
That's the spot, I think.
Okay.
So then this weekend, you're pretty good. You're calling the Browns and Texans this weekend. The Browns are an amazing story. They've obviously gone through some troubles at the quarterback position. They've landed on Joe Flacco. They continue to win. Kevin Stefanski, I think, deserves loads of credit for this, but you got to give Flacco credit as well. Like, what is keying this? What is special or what is different about the Browns that have allowed them to have a commanding playoff position at this point in the season, despite all the adversity they've faced?
Defense, first and foremost, Jim Schwartz coming as a coordinator, and he's just unlocked everything that they have, and they're a very, very confident defense. The weird part is they give up about 10 points a game at home and 30 on the road. It's a very strange mix, and this one, of course, is on the road, so we'll see if that holds up. But when they're at the top of their game on defense, they throttle a lot of people. They've really given people trouble and, in fact, beat San Francisco this year. So that's one thing. The second part is, we say next man up ad nauseum, and after a while it becomes such a trite cliche. But in this case, in Cleveland, they've embraced it, adopted it. And what I think has happened is that Kevin Stefanski has used the liberal practice squad rules that we put in for COVID and kept after it, which is only helping the game. He told everyone, if you're on the practice squad, you're on the squad. You've got to be ready to go. We're going to practice you with the, you know, in good moments in practice. You're going to get good, meaningful reps. We have to know that you know what you're doing when you go out there. Because just a couple weeks ago, we had them against Jacksonville, and in pregame warmups, free safety Juan Thornhill pulled a calf muscle. He can't go. Pregame warmup, you lose your starting safety. Okay, he has to go out. By the time they got into the ball game, Rocket Harrison was playing free safety, an undrafted free agent out of Ohio State. The other safety, because Grant Delpit, who had just signed their new contract, got hurt. He went out of the ball game. The other safety was DeAnthony Bell, an undrafted free agent out of the University of West Florida. That's who they were playing with. And those guys played well, and they continue to do it. And then you throw in Flacco, and he shows up. And look, big arm guys will be able to throw the football until the day they die, and then probably for 10 years after they die. That's what they do, okay? They're the grandfather in the backyard where the kid runs in, Mom, won't play. Grandpa throws it too hard. That's who they are. They can't help it. Joe Flacco is one of those people. So he just came off the couch, was pitching 50-yarders, and now this team has a dose of confidence in the tight end, David Njoku. Since Flacco's joined the team, his targets, he's had 28 targets in three games, 16 catches, almost 200 yards, and three touchdowns. In fact, 10 catches last week against Chicago. He's confident, happy getting the football. And Joe Flacco in the locker room is like 38 years old, which in that locker room is like he's my age, which is 59. And these kids just flock around him like he is the coolest thing going. And they're just having a ball, and he gives them confidence.
So you got Browns, Texans this weekend. You said you've seen the Texans a lot, obviously, which means you've seen a lot of C.J. Stroud, which means that, unfortunately, you're not going to see him this time around because he's been ruled out with a concussion. But he's had pretty incredible seasons. So far, he was my starter on my fantasy team, but I didn't make it through, so I'm kind of lost interest at this point. But NFL...
Says something about the rest of your fantasy.
Yeah, it did, actually. It was really terrible. Offensive Rookie of the Year odds are closing in now a little bit with Puka Nacua as well. So I wonder for you if this is going to change anything or not?
No, I think Ailish, he's a lock to win the award. Wouldn't surprise me if he ended up coming back and finishing the season. He's going to miss this week as well, and they're doing that, and it's a smart play. You know, he can't pass concussion protocol. You're not going to try and push that. But Nacua is having a phenomenal season. But you and I both know, the three of us and everyone listening and watching, who wins awards when it comes down to a tie? Quarterbacks versus position players almost every single time. And Nacua, again, having an exceptional year. We saw him at the Senior Bowl last year. I fell in love with the kid and put him down on my charts. Like, if he were a guy who stayed healthy, I would have had him in the second, third round. But throughout his BYU career, he was hurt every single year. And in fact, at the Senior Bowl, he's the best player in the field the first day, got hurt, didn't practice the rest of the week. That's why he went so late in the draft. And fortunately, he's been able to play throughout this season, so that part's been kind of cool. But I do think Stroud's going to win it. And I'll give you guys this. I just literally talked with a coach in the NFL, a prominent coach, and we were talking about why is C.J. Stroud different as a rookie quarterback, and he boiled it down to this. The other quarterbacks who have hit in recent years, who have had big rookie years, Dak had a big rookie year, Russell Wilson had a big rookie year, other guys – They played really well. You don't take that away from them. But they were protected in a number of ways. The running game for Seattle and the defense and Dak, and they limited certain things they did. This coach said to me, Stroud, they've let him play like a veteran from day one, and he's played like a veteran from day one. He said 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions for a rookie. He said it's usually the good Lord giveth, the good Lord taketh away with a rookie quarterback. He doesn't do that. He had nothing but admiration for this kid. And by the way, he's a defensive coach. So that just tells me everything I need to know. C.J. Stroud, if he had played throughout the rest of the year, we'd be talking about potentially a dark horse for MVP if somehow Houston won their division.
Yeah, it's one of the most unfortunate stories of the season, I think, C.J. Stroud getting injured because he was playing so brilliantly and the Houston Texans were one of the stories of the season. We talk about DeMeco Ryans and the impact he had. And C.J. Stroud was just brilliant. It was awesome watching him play, and hopefully he can get back before the end of the season so we can
Hey, Justin, real quick. The last time we had a rookie quarterback starting and a rookie head coach go to the playoffs together, it was Joe Flacco in Baltimore with John Harbaugh.
There you go.
We could have DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud be the next this year.
And as we know, with Flacco being 38 years old, that rookie season was a long time ago. Now that we're on the topic of awards, like everybody's been talking about,
Look at you drop the elbow on an older guy. I mean, what are you going to do? You going to hit me with a chair? I mean, come on, man.
I'm too close to Flacco to be comfortable, Charles. So we'll just leave it. We'll leave it at that. Brock Purdy. Everybody's been submitting their opinion on whether or not they're okay with him being the MVP of the National Football League. Are you okay with a guy like Brock Purdy being the MVP of the National Football League?
I'm going to break a rule. I'm asking you two first. One, and just tell me, yes, are you okay with him being MVP? Justin, go.
100% yes.
Yes.
Ailish?
Yes.
Okay, very quickly, why Ailish?
I think he's been one of the best quarterbacks, best players in this league. He's leading his team to probably be a Super Bowl champion or contender. I think we get a little bit confused because quarterbacks always win, but there's obviously other options this time around. So maybe that's why we're hesitant, because Christian McCaffrey could certainly win. And Justin wants Josh Allen to win, and he's put money on him. So I'm kind of like, if Josh Allen wins, it means the Bills have gone to the Super Bowl. So I'm also into that suggestion.
I like it. Justin, what do you see in him very quickly?
Well, he's got the best numbers among quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's on the best team by a large margin, and that's usually enough to get you the award.
Yeah, it's a great formula. I'm going to put it to you this way, and I said it on air last week. We had the 49ers against Arizona, so I wanted to make sure everyone understood exactly where I stood on this thing and why I think there's such a hesitancy about Brock Purdy. It's because he was Mr. Irrelevance, because he was the last pick in the draft. And we as evaluators want to be correct. So when a seventh round guy, the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, is all of a sudden up for rookie of the year, not rookie of the year, but MVP of the league, we don't look so smart. So we're hesitant. Remember the 3-game losing streak? Remember how people came out of the woodwork to say, see, I told you Purdy wasn't that good. I told you it was him. No. If you watch him play the game and you watch that 49ers offense, he's not just jumping on with the rest of them. He is running the show. He is making the plays. He is getting it done. I'm all in on the kid. All right. I'm absolutely all in on him. And yes, I had him as a 6th and 7th round guy too. So I would be wrong as well. Sometimes we're just going to be wrong and just got to deal with it. And I'm dealing with watching him. But Purdy, McCaffrey could cancel each other out and open it up for Josh Allen, open it up for Lamar Jackson. Someone else may win it. But Purdy, if he wins it, to me, it's a legitimate deal. It's not someone handing it to him because it's a Cinderella story. He is playing the position of quarterback.
Two teams that I think were supposed to be powerhouses and still have that potential to be are the Eagles and the Chiefs. I wonder for you, which one do you have the most concern about right now with where they're heading in maybe not the right direction?
I think the Eagles I have a little more concern with because I feel like there's a little fraying in terms of what's happening, not just with each other, but within their own city. And you guys know Philadelphia is not easy, all right? That's one of the beauties. When you conquer Philadelphia and you go to the top of the heights, that's unbelievable because your own city sometimes is going to beat you to death along the way and in the journey. But if I had to offer advice to A.J. Brown, man, why are you going on Twitter with fans coming at you? Like, what are we doing here? Where he's like, y'all got to leave my character alone. Why mess with that? That's a problem. Now they're getting, you know, where Jalen Hurts is saying his teammates weren't committed. I saw the interview. I don't think he said that. He just said, as a team, we have to be more committed. So now we're starting to get that little bit of, hey, what's going on with this team? Kansas City's problem, wide receivers catching the football. It's a little bit different deal. And you don't see them fraying apart. In fact, when Mahomes went off on the officials, that was to keep him from going off on his receivers. Yeah. Okay? So he just went off on the officials, took the hit, so he wouldn't do it with his own guys, because I have to give the kid credit for that. And he hated the interaction post-game with Josh. He would love to have that over again, because the respect he has for Josh is through the roof. And it made it seem like, hey, he wasn't, because he was just so bit into the moment. He actually has called Josh to apologize, because that's not the way it's supposed to go down. Was he mad? Sure he was mad. But like when he and Andy Reid watched the tape and saw Tony about 8 yards offsides, that went out the window.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Mahomes is being regal. I wonder for you and your parting words for us this holiday season into the new year. How can we be regal this year, Charles?
Well, number one, if you're going to the game, don't go off that table again. You did it once when you said you wouldn't. although I will say, someone extremely close to me, all right, someone I care about greatly, said, you told her not to do it. She really heard your voice, but she couldn't not do it. She said, if that was the most dainty table drop I've seen in my life.
Oh, and I said, no, it was
elegant.
There was some elegance, but it was a dainty.
But then I tried the beer, Charles.
I'm just going to tell you, Ailish, the word used was dainty, okay? The word used was dainty. All I'm saying is, you don't need to do it. You've done it now. So let's just keep going, and let's see if the Leafs can get 1967 in the rear view. The only thing is my Rangers are going to be a part of that. So I'm big on the blue shirts. Okay, let's go Rangers.
We but can if go not, head to head.
Let's go Leafs.
I love that. Well, Charles, this was such a blast. I know you went double duty today on the morning show and with us just to get us in for our little holiday extravaganza. So we really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to hearing your calls down the road. And we will have a Bills meet up one day, I promise.
Absolutely. Next year we have to get to Buffalo. There's no way they could lock us out again, and we'll make it happen. And maybe I'll go table. Maybe I'll go off on the table.
We're going to remember this conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, we will.
Right, you guys take care. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All the fun stuff that's out there. And thanks a lot for having me on. It's great to see you both again. Continued success.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays Happy New Year. Thank you. Charles Davis, the NFL on CBS. Dainty is, I don't think I've ever been called dainty. So I'm going to think about how that makes me feel. If that's a good thing or not.
You can reflect over that if you'd like. I disagree, though, wholeheartedly. I mean, you might have to share that again. I didn't see much. Like, it was a bit of a lean. It wasn't like a leap. Dainty, though.
Can you jump
into on the back of a truck?
Can you jump on a table at a Bills tailgate daintily?
Can dainty break the table? I don't know if you can be dainty and get through the table.
I love how I said elegant and he corrected me. No, to dainty. I'm like, oh, yeah, it wasn't very elegant.
Yeah, you're trying to twist his words.
It's too bad that I won't see Charles Davis at the game coming up, but I'm very excited for that. What are you excited for over the next couple days? We got 2 minutes, 3 minutes left.
Ooh,
this is the holidays.
I'm excited for a lot of things. I think it's going to be a great NFL weekend. I think there are a lot of good storylines. I mean, the Bills obviously have my attention right now. I think the college football playoff is going to be spectacular. I think the Leafs have to show something tomorrow night.
Goodness, do they ever.
Against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. This is a great time of year to watch sports. It seems like things are converging. And we've got something starting anew with the PWHL on January 1st. So this is going to be a great little pocket of time. It feels like we've been like in it the last month or so. But it feels like these good things that are keeping us busy are coming to a head here in the next couple weeks.
I agree. We got some really good things lined up. We got the Bills game that I'm going to. You're going to a Sabres game. Going to go to the PWHL game.
I'm going to see 9 goals. But
you honestly might, because back-to-back times, either they put up 9 or the other team put up 9. We'll be doing the Leafs game tomorrow night on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jackets, you're right. It is like you got to erase one day ago's pain real quick. And we got to figure out what's going on with goaltending. And we got lots to figure out with the Raptors. Oh, I don't even know. And 2024 will be a year of learning, let's say.
And we got to turn our attention to the holiday season soon. Do you have your favorite thing that's going to happen over the next couple days?
I'm excited to go home and see my family.
There you go.
It's Bunker's, my dog, his first Christmas.
Okay, that's special then.
It's special. He's been a good boy.
Is there a bone under the tree?
There's at least a dozen bones in a big box from Santa, yeah.
Wasn't there something about, like, you know, keeping it clean, keeping it... him underweight.
Yeah, but he doesn't eat them all at once.
Yeah,
okay. He can ration them.
Spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, first Christmas for Bunky.
Gotta have a Christmas treat.
It's gonna be fun. Well, thank you to everyone for a wonderful, little bit of a season for us on the show. We'll be back in the new year. We wish you all a happy, happy holiday and a happy new year.
We made it.
Bye.